Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cakes Auville, and Jason Bishop. And joining us right now on the Madison Warehouse Hotline to talk a little Nats is Todd Dibas, covers the Nationals for NBC Sports Washington. What's up, Todd?
What's up, fellas? How are you?
What is the current temp in Florida?
Ooh.
It is about 78 lovely degrees here at 9 a.m.
Nice.
The sun is just creeping back out from behind a cloud. Yeah. I think it's going to be about 85 most of the day. Very humid.
When are we going to be there?
Like
next
week?
We're going to be there next week?
No,
not this weekend, the following weekend. Yeah. Right.
Next Sunday, correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. So are the... I don't know how much you've asked the players about the Astros stuff, but are the Nats players getting peppered with the Astros cheating scandal questions?
Yeah, they were, especially when we first got here last week. And, you know, it was the unavoidable topic, obviously, particularly the first day. I think what kind of surprised everybody is how it moved forward and dragged out and wouldn't die. And certainly other players publicly commenting and taking some shots at the Astros has been an interesting thing to watch.
Mm-hmm.
There's been different tactics in the Nationals clubhouse, right? Some guys have chosen not to say anything. Some guys, like Max Scherzer, said, hey, you reporters can walk down the hall and ask the Astros all you want about this stuff. You know, Howie Kendrick said, if you cheat, you cheat. The end. You know, and so it's been interesting to watch, and they're in the, actually, as we speak, are in the middle of a big union meeting, an hour-long union meeting. Every team does this, but the Nationals is today, obviously discussing a million things as it relates to the cheating scandal and the coming CBA and rule changes and replay and the playoff format and all sorts of things happening here.
What are the guys saying about no Rendon this year? You know, when there was no Harper, people talked about it, and they actually – you know, they tried to say it wasn't because of Harp, but they say, hey, man, the clubhouse is different. It's a different vibe. Mm-hmm. These guys get along and everything. And then they got the horrible start. But we did see that clearly that chemistry was there. Rendon clearly liked, I think, by the guys there.
Yeah.
What has their reaction been? Did they know it was coming? Did they know he was a goner?
Yeah, the reaction has been different, right? Because when Bryce walked in, you know, you felt that in the room. Because of just everything about him, right? His persona and the marketing and all that sort of thing. When Anthony was there, he acted just like anybody else as much as possible. And I think that's, you know, what everybody liked about him so much. So it's interesting for the ratio of how good he is to how much he's been discussed here and him not being here has been discussed is skewed, right? MVP finalist, but he hasn't been talked about that much here. Everyone's more concerned about what is Carter Kieboom going to be because they know Anthony Rendon is not here. And if the Carter Kieboom situation doesn't work, then what's next? And, you know, if you extrapolate that further, have the Nationals made an egregious error by not paying Anthony Rendon or Josh Donaldson? And we won't know that for a few years, but that's one of the questions on the table.
Right.
Todd, one of the new faces is Eric Thames, and I'm guessing if he's awake right now, he's lifting just massive amounts of weight. I mean, he is just a huge human. I mean, we're going to be blown away by him when we see him in person.
Yeah, he's actually here in the parking lot lifting cars instead of using the weight room. Yeah, and you know what? He's a really bubbly person. I hope you guys have him on at some point, and you'll learn what an upbeat kind of guy he is, a good-natured guy too. And I met him in Seattle when he was there briefly and I was out there working. And he kind of fits in that lighthearted mode. They've been searching for players with that. And we were just talking about the chemistry. He fits right in with that. And, you know, his appearance on The Masked Singer in Korea is a funny topic. And just the way he is, he's enjoyable to be around. Talking to him the other day, you know, he was on the right side of the infield when Juan Soto singled in the wild card game. And he said his heart just sunk right into his stomach when he saw Grisham overrun the ball. So, you know, he's an interesting, open guy. And he's going to be fun to have around. And he seems the perfect platoon with Zimmerman to start the season.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we can get them get him on the show when we're down there. Talk about a couple other infielders. One's a new face, Starlin Castro. I guess he would platoon with Howie at second. He could play a little shortstop, too. Start with him, and then I want to ask about Carter Kieboom as well. But start with Castro. How's he look so far? And what do you think they're expecting from him?
Yeah, Starlin's going to play second base almost exclusively. He'll play there a lot. Mm-hmm. One of Davey Martinez's biggest challenges will be how to get Howie on the field. He's going to, you know, move him around first, second, and even some third base. Obviously, whenever they play in an American League park, they can DH him. So Castro is interesting because second half of last year, he changed his swing and went into, I'm going to hit fly balls and see what happens. And that's all I'm thinking about. He did this on his own in Miami. Obviously, that team stinks. And you kind of have to self-motivate down there. And he did, and he had a huge second half. If everybody goes back and looks at his splits, you'll see his OPS, you know, up near 900. So they think that's repeatable. And don't be surprised if you see him hit third in the lineup sometime. Maybe not consistently, but he could end up in that spot here and there. And as I said, he'll predominantly play second base. He came up as a shortstop. Miami forced him over to third base for 42 games last year. That was just out of desperation. He's not really in the mix for third base here, though.
Yeah. And speaking of third, Kieboom, I guess, would be number – I don't know if he's number one on the depth chart now, but I'm surprised that they're going to go with him as of now. Anything can happen. They can make a trade or whatever. But I thought they would bring in an established vet. But what do you think about Carter Kieboom?
Yeah, I mean, the whole vibe here is it's his job to lose. It's him and Asdrubal Cabrera over there predominantly. As I said, you'll see Kendrick over there on occasion just as a way to get him on the field. It's interesting because if you're the number one prospect in an organization the way Carter Kieboom is, that has inherent pressure, right? And then if you come up and you have a flop in a small sample size, there's more inherent pressure. He has both of those things. And in this case, he's replacing an MVP finalist on the defending World Series champion. So there's a lot on his plate here. And I asked him yesterday, you know, what do you do for fun? You're 22 years old. We're in West Palm Beach, you know, either in the off season or now when you're out of here, what do you do for fun? And he said basically nothing because he's so worried about getting his job here and doing it right. He kind of sees this as a second chance. And understands even top prospects don't get that many chances in the same organization. So, especially when you're trying to defend the World Series title, right? Like, you're not bringing someone along just to bring them along. They need to be able to play. So, the backup plan remains as Asdrubal Cabrera. They're going to work and work and work with Carter Kieboom to improve his defense at third base. And also mentally, they want, if something goes wrong at third base in the field, they want him to ditch that and leave that there if he's in the box the next inning and not kind of have a bad thing out here, feed into a bad thing in there and kind of get caught in that cycle. And he was caught in that a little bit when he was up last year.
Doesn't he have another year of service, though, or something like if he stays a month or something that they can squeeze out of him or no?
Yeah, I mean, that's a long discussion, but I don't really think it's part of the equation
that
here
won't?
Because
okay. –
Yeah, they need someone to play there. And if their top prospect can be a league average player there in his first full season, they'll be happy with that.
Talking to Todd Dybas, covers the Nationals for NBC Sports Washington. He's down at spring training. I heard Davey Martinez, the manager, talk about Victor Robles, and it seems like his ideal scenario would be Robles being the leadoff hitter to go into Eaton, Turner, Soto, and then the rest of the lineup. How likely do you think that is to happen?
I think we're going to see it. I don't think, like, we're going to see it in spring training. I don't think he'll end up doing that with regularity in the regular season. You know, Robles' on-base percentage in the minors was pretty good. But last year, his on-base percentage was not, and his discipline at the plate was not. And it's a bit of an unfair comparison point, but essentially he swings at pitches outside of the strike zone 10% more often than Juan Soto. And we know how disciplined Soto is, and this is kind of an innate, you know, extreme level thing for him. But they need Victor to calm down a bit and stop doing that and try to be in the zone more. The challenge there is if you're going to lead off with him and his on-base percentage is going to be so low, you're kind of rolling the dice with the potential versus the sample size that you have, right? Like, Robles should become a better offensive player, a more consistent offensive player as he gets older, like anybody. But I don't know if he's ready to hit leadoff for them at this point. I think they're going to be ending up with Trey Turner or Adam Eaton feeding into someone else and then Juan Soto hitting cleanup. And a lot of mixing and matching throughout the season of Howie Kendrick's playing. He could hit third. As I mentioned, Castro could hit third. You know, maybe somebody else is a better matchup that day and he hits third. So we'll see. A lot of moving parts for Davey Martinez. That's going to be the most interesting thing for him this season.
Obviously, the strength of the pitching is the top three guys with Max, Stassi, and Corbin. But the bullpen, at least on paper, is much better than it was to start this spring training than it was last year, especially since they acquired Will Harris. And then Hudson, who they acquired last year at the break or at the deadline, starts the year. So you got Doolittle, Harris, Hudson, Rainey, Suero. I assume Strickland's still there. How much better is this bullpen on paper than it was going into last year, in your opinion?
Well, was there room to go in the other direction?
Yeah, that's
my first question about last year's bullpen. You know, there was a time last year where I was walking down the hall with Davey Martinez after they lost again and they had blown it late. And he said to me, I don't know what to do. And it was a game where he used five relievers and all five gave him a run. So it didn't matter strategically when you're putting anyone in if none of them can get anybody out, right? It's just, there's nothing a manager can do at that juncture. So in this case, to your point, Will Harris has been one of the most consistent relievers in Major League Baseball for like 5 years now. He does what he does. He does it very well. Similar, like when you think about Patrick Corbin going fastball slider, and sometimes with a curveball, like everybody knows what Patrick Corbin is going to do, but it just plays at this level because he does it so well. This is the case for Will Harris in the bullpen. Sean Doolittle's load should be lightened a bit. Hudson, you know, to me, I think he's primed for a bit of a step back. His numbers here last year were a bit of an outlier for his career, but they're going to be able to balance that out probably by lowering his usage, using Tanner Rainey, trying to get him a little more refined, his slider in particular. I mean, he's throwing 100 miles an hour and not even trying, right? It just comes out that way for him. Suero was used too much last year. They certainly want to use him less and have him not blow up as often. And Roenis Elias is someone they think could be effective for them too. Remember, he was the guy who came over from Seattle. And,
right. He got hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt because he was told not to swing, and then he swung, and then he sprinted to first base. That won't be happening again. But what's been interesting with him on the mound, he's a left-hander who had reverse splits last year. Every time he throws a bullpen session down here, they have the bullpen coach, Henry Blanco, stands in the left-handed batter's box. So there's a left-handed batter in there every time that Elias is pitching. They want him to be better against lefties because right now Will Harris is their lefty specialist outside of Doolittle, who's obviously in the closer role. But Harris kills lefties despite being right-handed. They want another guy to be very effective against lefties so they can spread that around a little bit, and they hope that it's Elias.
What do you think that first game against the Astros, even though it's spring training, and you know, it'll be a couple thousand people there if that, but what do you think that's going to be like when they play Houston?
Yeah, you know, it goes back to what we were talking about off the top, right? Like, spring training is supposed to be a chill time, and you get situated, and it has not been a chill time, and it's going to be Max Scherzer on the mound against the Astros. And the other day down here, a fan ran over there when Altuve, Bregman, and Correa were taking BP, and a fan ran over there, banged on a garbage can, and took off.
Right.
And
it's a good bit.
You know, yeah, that's happening in BP. And then you think about
that. That's going to happen all
over.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Well, and you think about Nationals Park, how many garbage cans are already in there? Mm-hmm. Right. So it's prime for shenanigans. And you have Max Scherzer on the mound. It's going to be interesting to see the crowd reaction, because certainly there's going to be some Nationals fans here. There'll be the defensive Astros fans here. And it's going to be a long season of judging intent. If any of the Astros players are hit by a pitch, basically at any point, you're going to wonder if someone's just drilling them to drill them. And it's going to be interesting to see how often that happens early in the season, and if we have a couple bench clearing situations before it kind of course corrects itself.
Yeah.
Todd, appreciate the time. It's Todd Dibas. Check out his work at NBCSportsWashington.com. Thanks, pal.
Thanks, fellas.
Yep. All right, man.
Going to be an interesting season without Anthony Rendon in the lineup. That lineup is going to definitely seem a lot different for Nats fans.
Well, that's why they had to bulk up that bullpen.
Yep. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. It is an open line Thursday here on the Junkies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington on an open line Thursday. Presented by Window Nation. If you're searching for windows, new windows or doors, search windownation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time and installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home, because it's where you live. All you have to do is call us up at 800-636-1067. Same number for the Thompson Creek Windows text machine. Standard message data charges may apply. And you can always tweet us at Junks Radio. I know you guys aren't into boxing. There is a big heavyweight boxing match on Saturday. It's a rematch. Tyson Fury against Deontay Wilder. They're like super heavyweights.
Mike Tyson
was big, but he was, you know, 5'10", stocky. Deontay Wilder, I believe, is 6'7". Now, he's skinnier.
He's a big dude, yeah.
But Tyson Fury is 6'9".
Who's the guy that said he was drinking 30 Diet Cokes a
day?
That's
what I wanted to bring up. That's Tyson Fury. So Tyson Fury talked about wanting to kill himself. He became heavyweight champion, then he got super depressed, and he gained like 100 pounds.
Well, wasn't he obese to begin with?
He was, yeah. You know, I guess he's had bouts with obesity in different times. He probably yo-yos. But then he got healthy again, eventually fought Deontay Wilder, and he has said, I don't know if he's doing a bit, that after this fight, he wants to go on a Coke binge. That seems to be outrageous, but this seems to be his personality.
Not a Coca-Cola binge.
So he was drinking 20 to 30 Diet Cokes a day.
I mean, that is a very aggressive amount of Diet Coke. I mean, take it from somebody who used to drink, I don't know, like at the height of it, I might have drank 6 or 7 a day. That's a lot. That's 4+ times that.
Do you believe that? Here's Tyson Fury talking about this.
One thing I've cut out for this camp is Diet Cokes. And I love my Diet Coke, so I usually have 20 to 30 cans a day. And when I'm after this fight, I'm going to binge out on cocaine and hookers.
Last like question,
is there anything better than cocaine and hookers?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, but I don't know. Maybe the hookers you can afford are different than the hookers the average person can afford.
I go for the cheap $30 ones.
Well, do you have any advice when dealing for a cheap $30 hooker?
Yeah, always give yourself a shot of penicillin before shagging.
Before shagging.
Okay, I'll have to take your advice.
If you haven't got a penicillin, always double bag up.
You know what? I'm rooting for him.
He's my guy.
He's fun.
I don't care about the fight. Obviously, I didn't know he's a Brit. I didn't know he's Brit until like 10 seconds ago.
He's known as the Gypsy King.
He's I love him. I love that dude.
Wilder won the first one, correct?
No, it was a draw.
It was a draw.
It was a draw, but most people who watched it, including myself, thought that Fury should have won. Like, he won every round.
By the way, when are there ever draws?
He was knocked down twice.
Yeah.
So Wilder did knock him down, and most people thought in the last round that it looked like Tyson Fury was going to be knocked out. Like, he was flat. He was probably out unconscious for a few seconds, and somehow he popped back up.
Does Luke Thomas have a squeaky leaner on this fight?
I'm sure he does.
They're almost, the odds are almost identical. They kind
of
go back.
What sort of purse?
Wilder right now on my site's -130. Fury's even money. The total in rounds is 10.5.
But it's, you guys are out on it. I know, I think it's, and they're selling the fight very well. Like, they had a little face-off yesterday, and they were barking at each other. They're saying it's going to be like a huge pay-per-view buy.
I read that, like 3 million pay-per-views, maybe?
I thought I saw like 2 million, right, but either way.
Well,
that's
I know on Saturday, February 22nd at 11 p.m., I know I won't be awake.
Right. No chance. It's impossible.
Now, if someone gives me a squeaky leaner on it, I'll throw a little dollar on it.
What sort of money are these guys looking at, purse-wise? Do we have any idea?
Drabby?
I mean, are they going to make, is Wilder going to make 5 million, 10 million?
I think
more than that?
I think it's north of that.
Yeah, I think it's got to be way bigger than that.
Wow.
I thought I heard maybe 15 million.
Plus, they're going to get a piece of the pay-per-view. I mean, that's usually the way it works.
Well, there's just so much. Yeah, 15 million is what I'm reading. There's just so much buzz about this because of the last fight between the two was one of the most exciting fights in the last 10 years.
How long ago was it?
Last year, last spring.
Last year, all right.
I mean, he was like out cold, and then like with a snap, he just sat up and finished the fight. It was like incredible.
They're not offering the fight in standard definition, are they? They're not still doing that bit.
I don't know.
I got the pay-per-view.
Nobody does that.
It's like, hey, buy the standard definition for $59.99 and the high def for $79.99. Who would buy standard def?
I mean, there's also intrigue that Deontay Wilder, some people say, has the heaviest right hand in the history of the sport.
He's a big
like, as
dude.
Great as a knockout artist that Mike Tyson was, he didn't knock out every opponent. This guy's knocked out every opponent except for Tyson Fury.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you let me know how
it's a lock that Deontay Wilder is a big Nick Saban fan because he's from Tuscaloosa.
Is he really?
Yes.
I'm sure he is.
Loves him some Crimson Tide.
Well, I've seen interviews with the guy, and he just looks like a monster.
Yeah.
Hey,
how big is Fury?
6'9".
Oh, he's bigger than
that. He's weighing at like 6'9", 270.
This EB would be interested in this.
These guys are monsters.
Every once in a while, EB gets like excited about random events like NASCAR last week.
No, I always watch the Daytona.
I do watch the Daytona usually, yeah.
But this boxing fight with the personality, because every once in a while you'll get into an MMA
UFC
fight.
Stuff, yeah.
This is going to be bigger than all that.
No, it's fine. The problem is they start too late. I fall asleep. Yeah, you gotta wait and wait and wait. I fall asleep.
Yeah, because there's
often.
No chance this will start at 11.
No, it started at 12:30.
No way.
Yeah.
Not 12:30. Probably 11:30.
That kind of sucks about it is
I guess
once they fight,
it depends on the undercards.
Then you're not going to care about who they fight next because there's nobody else out there really. There's this guy Anthony Joshua, another Brit, but there's really nobody else out there after this fight.
What do you know about Charles Martin, who's also a heavyweight?
Nothing.
All right, well, he's a big favorite over Gerald Washington.
I do like Wilder's quotes about Fury. He goes, "Don't ever forget when I found you, you were strung out on coke. When I found you, you was like a big house contemplating about killing yourself. So don't you ever forget I brought you back."
All right.
Yeah, they were fighting. Their fight yesterday was about kind of who helped who to make money.
Right.
So that was his retort. Fury was saying that Deontay Wilder had never been on the big stage until he fought Tyson Fury. Fury became champion by beating Klitschko, who was champion for many, many years and nobody cared about.
Those guys are done, right? The Klitschkos?
Yeah.
How many people in this studio and the production studio will be up at 12 o'clock on Saturday night? I'm guessing
I'll
you.
Probably be up.
And I'm guessing Drab. He's probably going to watch it.
I'm going to be out of town.
AWOL,
right, but
of course.
You won't be awake.
I'm actually going to a college basketball game that night.
That's right. You're going to the Syracuse game.
Yeah.
Syracuse, Carolina. What time
Correct.
Is that tip?
Don't know. It's probably a 7. Yeah. I'm going to think 7 or 8.
There's a better chance I see Halley's Comet Saturday night than I'm
awake. Was that last Saturday night, though?
Yeah, but that's because I was playing cards.
Okay. Well, something
that's an outlier. I don't generally stay up late on a weekend. because I'm beaten down from waking up at 4:10 every morning.
I can't tell looking at your back.
It takes its toll on your boy.
When Cakes was posting highlights from his awesome run at the MGM, all people were doing was joning on his bags.
I knew that was going to happen, too.
I thought they were talking. They were like, oh, my God, holy bags. And I thought it was because he bagged his chips.
Right.
And then I had to look at it again. Yeah. And I was like, oh, they're talking about his eye bags.
I knew. I was like, do I really want to do a video where I know people are just going to jone on the bags?
So I never look at the comment. Like, if I see Cakes is posting, like he did a couple videos. Mm-hmm. I look at that. I never look at the comments underneath.
Oh, you should look at the comments.
Look, my reply was holy bag.
Yeah.
It just, I see Cakes every day, but it was the lighting in the poker room.
Yeah.
Because it looked like he put suntan lotion underneath his eyes and then all of a sudden was bronzing up for 3 hours.
Hey, I mean, what can I do?
Do you take
like an allergy thing? Do you take like a Zyrtec every day or something like that?
I take all the allergy meds. Once spring and summer kicks in, I take them all.
That has nothing to do with the bags right now, you don't think?
It's 17 years of waking up.
It's called being beat. Yeah.
It's just genetics.
Life beating you down.
I mean, I have bags.
It's genetics.
Yeah.
Although mine are much better when I sleep.
Cakes they're on steroids.
they're lifting, apparently. Well, what can I do?
You got to keep the glasses on. That's what I told you. You look way sharper.
And you know what? They do probably camouflage the bags a little bit.
That's his point.
Now I wear glasses at the table because I'm old, and if I'm in the two seat or like the eight seat at the wrong end of the table, I can't see the cards.
It's the lighting. The lighting's not flattering because
and neither are the bags.
Well, the bags like they don't come out.
Bags don't lie.
They don't come out, and then they're just don't get hit by the sun, so it's all white.
Right.
We talked about this yesterday. Would you or maybe 2 days ago? Would you have done his move where he now has a safety deposit box at MGM?
I probably would have just asked somebody to walk me to my car.
Well, that's what I told him.
I'm just going to take
I'll just pay the guy $50.
I mean, maybe I put $1,000 there so I don't have to worry about, you know.
No, this is what I would have done. I would have paid the guy $50, you know, obviously someone who works there, not just some rando, to go get my car and pull it around to the valet stand. And I would have walked out right there and you wouldn't have to worry
about
it. I
have a detailed plan in place.
I know.
I'm just going to keep the chips there, and I'm going to take them out piecemeal.
That's what Rich guys do. He doesn't really need the money.
He doesn't need the money. It's not like changing money.
It's convenience for me to have the chips there. Chips.
By the way, to give a plug, didn't you? Oh, or maybe we're not supposed to plug podcasts
anymore. Yeah, not supposed to keep
the whole
that
thing.
Dull roar.
Followed Cakes on Twitter.
I'll take care of that
Cakes
on my social media, at Money Metal Cakes.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, we're going to give you a chance to win tickets to go see comedian Nick Swardson
Jason's
at MGM
favorite
National Harbor.
Nick,
you can get details at thefandc.com. Play a little Who Am I? Round Robin style next here on The Junkies.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're going to play some Round Robin Who Am I? That's Jason's favorite game. Four tickets to go see comedian Nick Swardson. The phone number is 800-636-1067 if you want to play. We'll punch up three contestants. We'll give a series of clues, and if you can identify who we're talking about, you will win said prize, the tickets to see Nick Swardson at MGM National Harbor.
By the way, Eric, the WCAC playoffs are this weekend. Quarters are at Gallaudet. The semis are at AU. And DeMatha's the one seed, and I was just talking to a buddy, and he asked me if I was going to go. And I said, what time are the games? Now, if they advance to the semis, they probably should. I mean, they're going to play the play-in winner in the quarters. But if they advance to the semis, I believe they play at 6:15 on Sunday night. I said, it's too late for me.
It is too late for you. It just
It's too late.
I agree.
The drive to D.C. for a 6:15, maybe a 6:30 game.
Yeah.
You know, on a Sunday night, it gets me back at after 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Aren't high school games though quicker?
It's too late.
They are.
I mean, they're
2 hours.
But it's, you know, with travel and it's just too late.
You're 30 years removed from high school. Like at some, I know, but at some point, you're going to stop going to high school hoops games.
I like really good high school hoops. If you love the sport.
That's where I think private school is a little bit different than public.
So here's the thing about cakes. If I brought cakes to a game and you're sitting there 5 feet from the court, and you watched that high level, he would love that game.
Yeah, you don't understand, Cakes. When you go to the Mathe game, it's like going to a college game.
I understand it's a different level.
No, it's not even that it's a different level. It's a different experience.
You would really like it.
I just took a buddy to the game the other day. It was just St. John's. It wasn't even a big game.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, my God, it's like going to a college game.
Yeah, but I mean, most of them are D1 players.
Sure. I'll take your word for it.
I don't think he understands what it even is.
The starting 10 in the Mathe Paul the Sixth games that are all – if they're not all D1s, there's 8 out of 10 that are D1s.
I know there's so it's sick like athletes. Watching
but what Cake said is I think it's a difference between – and look, my brother went to DeMatha. Mm-hmm. You're a DeMatha guy, and it's not just exclusive for DeMatha. I think a lot of private schools are like that. You have more of like kind of a loyalty to it. It's
if you're a Landon graduate, you go to Landon lacrosse games your whole life.
Right. We went to a high school that had 2,500 people. It's much bigger. It's a public school. I think you just – you don't hear
a lot of different type of people
from public schools necessarily talking about their high schools as much as you do from smaller private schools.
No, but my overall point is if I brought Cakes to the game and he watched it, he would really like it. He would come away going, that was a really good game.
I'm sure I probably would.
And he'd be impressed by the players, but anyway.
You'd have to pay me an appearance fee to go.
Right. I know.
So if you could do that, then I would show up.
So jaded. All right, Jason, you got your wheel ready to spin?
Sure. Ooh,
let's punch up three
contestants.
What's
the game?
This is the round. Right now, who's –
do I have
Drabby
to be in
and
it?
Valdez, are we
– they're in. Of course
yeah,
they're
we
in.
Be in it.
They in like AWOD.
AWOD too.
He's included.
All right, AWOD.
Oh, AWOD's
who
the
knows
first
where this
clue?
Is going to go. We got to punch up our three contestants first. Who's playing?
You got to put all three guys at the same time?
Yeah.
All right. It's a little
trickier. You know
how to do that? Yeah, I do, but it's a little trickier.
I don't. I
go to Keith and Laurel, the number one prize pig at the station.
Keith and Laurel, what's up?
Hey, guys. Oink, oink.
Yeah. Right, and let's go to Tommy. Tommy?
At least he owns it.
Yes, I'm here.
Tommy, where are you calling from?
Huntingtown, Maryland.
All right.
All right. And let's go to Mike in La Plata. Hey, Mike.
What's going on, guys?
All right. AWOD,
number
one.
Three Meccas, by the way. Huntingtown, Laurel, and La Plata.
Hey, we love all those spots, JP. You know this.
Now, if you don't know this game, this is the round robin, who am I? AWOD has someone in his mind. We have no idea who he's thinking
of. Is there a category?
Nope.
No.
It's wide open.
Oh, my God.
So we got to feed off the previous clue.
If you have a guess, say your name, you'll get a guess. You miss, you're out of the game.
Out of the game or you miss a round?
Out of the contest.
You're done.
It's got three contestants.
Well, I wouldn't guess early.
Running out of time.
All right, AWOD, what's up?
We are going to start with this person is a millennial.
Here we go.
Oh, geez.
All right, spin the wheel.
Spin it.
So what's the age range for millennials?
I don't even know.
Probably up to like
draft 30, t-shirt, you're a millennial. 30, you're at the very end.
Just pick one.
21 to 35 or something?
Yeah, something like that.
All right, Cakes.
All right, 21 to 35, millennial.
I don't even know if that's true. I'm just making it
that's
up.
Just what I'm going with. I'm a professional.
Don't say
hockey
poker,
player.
Don't say poker player.
Professional hockey player.
All right.
Look, but Krabby's not having any fun. He doesn't know any.
Narrowed it down to like five people. The commoners know.
Right. Oh, Bish Bucks.
he always goes third. I swear to God.
He doesn't want it to go too deep.
It gets too hard.
He doesn't want it to go too deep.
All right. I
know.
Pick Drabby.
I know what is it.
I'm actually going to make it real tough for Drabby.
Find somebody on the caps between 21 and 35 and go and proceed.
All right. The clue is Bish Bucks. I play in the Eastern Conference.
I like it.
All right. Oh, boy. Big Pickle Productions.
Somebody's backed into a corner.
No, wow, I can do this.
This
I mean, we're still good. I'm still good.
This is a softball for him.
Of course. I'm a defenseman.
Defenseman.
Mike. All right, Mike, go ahead.
I'm just going to guess Carlson.
I was thinking John Carlson.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I was telling the truth.
I wanted to get the dum-dum.
Do you want me
here.
To lie?
You get a pair of tickets to see stand-up comedian Nick Swartzen at MGM National Harbor. Details at thefandc.com. Congrats.
Drabby, I pondered going Western Conference.
At least it would have made it interesting.
Are you upset at me for ruining the game, Drabby?
Yes, it was selfish.
All these who am I's are
Why
always...
Why was that selfish?
They're always athletes, too.
Well.
You guys are in a box.
Yeah.
Blame cakes.
I do.
I should have
fine. I can handle the blame.
The game police.
They are.
People are never
it's
happy.
The game. You know what it is? The
if
game.
We play one game with questions that are hard, it's too hard. Then it's too easy.
It's the game Gestapo back there.
What did you guys do yesterday? You did jump
password.
Oh, password. How did that go?
Awful because JP didn't realize that Jason was a part of the game and didn't show him the password.
Yeah, it was fine.
Bad execution.
It was a one cluer.
Poor execution.
It was a one cluer.
We couldn't stop talking to Cowboy Todd about his new daughter.
Oh, he's got
a
new daughter.
He found out a new daughter. A 13-year-old kid just walking around.
From a one-night stand. I know that's surprising.
No, you're kidding, right?
Not kidding.
No. How did he confirm the...
Through Facebook.
Facebook.
He tracked
it. I know, but did he
do... He can't even spell Facebook.
I know, but did he do a DNA test or something?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's... How do we know?
Probably looks just like
him. He did a DNA test?
She was wearing a cowboy hat.
Huh?
You know what's funny about it is that he told me that story on hold, but he says, you cannot say that on air because I haven't told my family yet. And then ran out of things to say while he was on, and so he just blurted that out.
Because he wanted the attention dollars. Yeah. Yes. His call was going bad.
Yeah. He wanted ADs and
nobody cared about his disc golf.
Yeah, that he wanted like a sponsor for his disc golf.
So he had to pull out the ace up his sleeve about illegitimate child.
Apparently the junkies are big.
How
on
many
the,
kids does he have
golf?
Now?
Four daughters.
So did she hit him up through Facebook? Because she wants money now?
I think she's been trying to track him down for years. And
he's but he has custody.
Huh?
Yeah, he has sole custody.
He's got sole custody.
Of a 13-year-old they just met?
Yes.
How did he get sole custody?
I guess she's a show.
She must be a disaster.
Well, she's a former stripper.
Are you shocked?
It's probably a meth head.
Yeah. He remembers the one-night stand?
I don't know. What did he say?
Did he say he remembered that?
He didn't say whether he remembered or not. He said it was from one-night stand.
Good skins? Did you ask
him? Expensive lap dance.
Yeah. Wow.
So he's got four daughters.
So when did he find all this out?
Is it three different baby's mamas? Or is it four different baby's mamas?
I don't know. He's got...
So he loves her?
Yeah. Seems like he's all in.
He just met her.
He can't love a girl. He just met her. No, he doesn't love her yet.
His daughter.
Yeah.
I wonder.
How's that work?
What? The amazing to me
Hope
is
I never find out.
If you combine her kids, because he got married,
yeah.
with his kids, he's got nine. He's evolved to nine.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
Wasn't he also, Drab, you can update. I think this kind of went under the radar. Wasn't he on the news recently because there's like a body buried in his backyard?
I think two bodies.
Yeah, really?
Todd was on the news about it?
Yeah, he's on the news.
Vaguely remember.
He basically lives on an Indian burial ground.
There are probably two other babies' mamas.
You want to talk about being dealt deuce seven. If you're,
could you imagine?
No, I'm going back to the kid thing. If you're the kid and you find out your mom is a stripper and your dad is Cowboy Todd.
Yeah, you're pretty much doomed.
The Cowboys, he's kind of figured things out. He's staying out of jail of late and he seems to be making money.
All right, you want to go to Bruce? All right, Bruce is on. Hey,
Talk
Bruce.
About one winner to the next.
What's up, buddy?
I got an announcement to make.
Go ahead.
The real reason that, JP was fined $30 at the library was because he couldn't stop talking.
All right, the real reason is something about 30
bucks.
The
real reason JP was fined 30 bucks is because he wouldn't stop talking.
Where
at the
was
library.
He fined 30 bucks?
He had missing books that I don't have. He returned Little Mermaid.
He wouldn't stop talking in the library? Yeah. Is that what it was?
He ignored the shh sign.
Flew right through it.
Right. All right, Bruce, have a great weekend, buddy.
How are you going? Are you going to Florida this year?
Yes.
You're coming.
You want to come? Want to meet us there?
I wish I can.
Yeah, we'll talk to Drab.
Don't hug Altuve. He has a buzzer on him.
He might get right shot. All right, Bruce, we got to run. We're up against the break, buddy.
Okay, thank you.
All right, man. Be good.
Show historian Peter.
I love you too, man.
Asking how the Bruce announcement thing started. Was that a Valdez bit? There's no way that Bruce just started making announcements.
Well, here's the thing. Bruce would call all the time.
Yes.
So we said, listen, he likes being on the air. Obviously, there's a lot going on there. Let's just put him on once a week and then we'll write some shtick for him or something.
Can't remember.
And just kind of, you know, and that's just kind of how it's evolved.
Oh, okay. I know, but who started it?
I thought he came out and said, I have an announcement.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows who started
it. The answer, Peter from Burke. Nobody knows. All right, for Bish, Cakes, EB, I'm JP. We're out of here. Grant Danny, up next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.